KALW.
You know, there's a Wikipedia article about it, literally, and it's called The Hum.
Have you ever heard of The Hum?
And I think that's what makes it so tricky is, again, it's like, it's subtle. It's so subtle.
It's happening right now, by the way.
It's happening
like,
right now?
I can really feel it, yeah.
It's a mysterious noise that only 2% of people can hear.
What was something that was kind of just like one of the minor mysteries of life is now like this major, like, international scandal that, like, you know, maybe there's like this huge, you know, problem. Maybe this is like driving people to insanity.
Today, we get to the bottom of this strange phenomenon. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. This weekend marks the 87th anniversary of the building of the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a world-famous Bay Area icon with a rich history, one of the 7 civil engineering wonders of the U.S. People from all around the world come to see it and feel the wind as they walk along its span. But in 2020, you could also hear the bridge. Not the traffic on it or the seagulls above, but the actual bridge itself.
Since early June, a ghostly sound has drifted across San Francisco. And social media lit up with a range of reactions, calling it soothing, unsettling, even alien.
That year, we sent reporter Nicholas Harder to find out what was going on.
Almost like a wind chime. It was absolutely harmonic and musical. Largely, it had been a very localized, low-level harmonic resonance. And then Friday is when we saw sort of the perfect storm of conditions to create the louder sound that people were tweeting and recording and commenting about online.
Nicholas discovered that bridge railing installed as part of a wind retrofit project was generating the sound. But solving this audio mystery led to another audio mystery. Today, we bring you that story, and we begin with Nicholas joining me in our studios. So tell us a little more about what led you to this next story.
Sure. So last year I did this story about the bridge. It was called Tracking Down a Mysterious Hum in San Francisco.
Someone knows though, right?
Yeah, someone knows for sure. That's loud. Right. So we're on Midspan. Yeah, we heard out there on Midspan, but we still don't know. We're asking too.
It was that story which inspired Dale Tutai to reach out to me about his house in the Sunset District, which he says hums and vibrates. And it keeps him and his family from getting any sleep. He says this is the third house he's lived in the neighborhood where he's felt this vibration and heard a hum.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Hey, Dale, how's it going?
Good, good. Come on in.
Chairs over here.
I'm with Dale. We're huddled in a corner of his garage, watching graphs form on his laptop screen. Dale's an engineer by trade, so this stuff comes naturally. He takes these graphs and puts them on a website he made to analyze possible causes of the hum. These graphs are generated by a thing called a data logger. It's this expensive vibration measuring device that Dale has attached to one of his water pipes. He's not sure that's where the hum is coming from, but he suspects it.
It seems like it's stronger on the street side, like the intensity or magnitude. But like whenever I think there's something obvious, then I like take a measurement that's like counter to that. So it's confusing, baffling.
Dale says he comes down here in the middle of the night to chase down the vibration when it keeps him up, which is often. I noticed the bags under his eyes the moment I walked in. His wife, Christina, can't hear or feel it herself, but she's convinced, like Dale, that it still affects her and their kids.
So we actually could see her heart rate, you know, spiking at certain times and, you know, and...
And it's at the same times that you are feeling this vibration.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I can feel it, you know, the shaking.
It starts.
It starts, and then sure enough, like... You know, our daughter woke up and then the other daughter woke up.
Dale says he's sure it's affecting the neighbors too.
And then 2 minutes later, we can hear their baby crying too. That's also happened with the house behind us. And we've seen that at every place, like bathroom lights come on, like from neighbors' buildings, you know, like the TV across the street, like they always have their TV on early in the morning on those like really bad days. It seems so obvious.
There are a handful of people in the Sunset District who also hear a hum. They've found Dale through his website and the social media app Nextdoor. But most people he talks with don't take it that seriously.
And I think that's what makes it so tricky is, again, it's like, it's subtle. It's so subtle.
It's happening right now, by the way.
It's happening like, right now.
I really feel it, yeah.
I agree to look into this hum for Dale. And to learn more, I head over to the house of this guy named Nelson Sarney. He met Dale through Nextdoor.
So,
shoes off?
Yeah, downstairs is fine. If we, I figure if to talk, we'll go upstairs. More comfortable. But.
Okay, cool.
Nelson's a musician, so he's actually made recordings of the hum. I'm on his couch, put headphones on, and I plug him into this 8-track recorder on the coffee table.
So let's see here. Project 8. I think the good one was, there we go.
Nelson plays it back, and at max volume, I can just barely hear something that sounds like some kind of ominous creature breathing. Then Nelson shows me the post he made on Nextdoor, in which he describes the hum he hears and asks if anyone else in the hood is hearing something similar.
I looked at it a few days later and just saw like this tremendous chain of replies, and I didn't even read them.
Nelson's post got more than 100 comments from like 60 different people. And now, Hana, I did end up personally speaking with 9 of them, and they all do seem to be hearing something similar.
So what do they say they hear?
Well, they're usually the only ones in the house who hear it. They say it's only heard indoors, even in some rooms better than others. And it's low pitched, like a distant truck idling. But they all hear it at different times of day and at varying intensity, which tells me that while these folks all seem to be hearing some sort of similar hum, it's probably not coming from the same source.
We're gonna do physics.
Oh, are you gonna do the bass guitar now or what?
We're back at Nelson's house. He's holding his bass guitar up in the air to show me how it picks up on electromagnetic fields, which he suspects is the source of his hum. You see, power lines, any kind of electric appliance, generate their own field.
Ooh, it kind of bends. This is essentially acting like an antenna.
The guitar is, when you move it around like that.
Yeah.
It's just interacting with
the magnetic field of our world, of our electronic world.
It's cool, man.
Okay. So,
wherever his hum is coming from, Nelson's sure that it's just another consequence of living in a built environment. This world we made that runs on engines and electric current.
I can't imagine like something in nature really making a sound like this.
Nelson is absolutely right. And this, Hana, is where the story gets weird.
Weird how?
Well, as it turns out, there have been numerous hums reported all over the country and all over the developed world.
You know, there's a Wikipedia article about it, literally, and it's called The Hum.
Okay, so The Hum. Nick, you gotta tell me more about this.
Definitely. So the first hum that made big news was in Bristol, this industrial town in Britain, and that report was way back in the 1970s. There have been others in Kokomo, Indiana, in Denmark. More recently, there was a hum in Canada in Windsor, Ontario. That stopped after a nearby steel mill was closed. I found this one University of New Mexico study. It says that up to 2% of people in any populated area might be able to hear a hum. And they all describe the same thing, right? A low-pitched sound that's only heard indoors and that sounds like a distant piece of machinery or an engine idling.
In reading these accounts, it's like, oh, I hear the same thing.
Mm. And is that comforting or like?
maybe it's a little disconcerting because, you know, what was something that was kind of just like one of the minor mysteries of life is now like this major like international scandal that, that you know, maybe there's like this huge, you know, problem. Maybe this is like driving people to insanity.
The international nature of this hum really hits home for me after I do a shout out on Reddit for an acoustical engineer, just to help me wrap my mind around all of this. And I get a response from Alex Mendoza, who lives in Sydney, Australia.
I love this stuff. I love acoustic mysteries, and I really enjoy the satisfaction of figuring out these kinds of problems.
Alex is so not surprised by Dale and Nelson's stories. He works for a firm that gets hired to investigate and measure noise levels. Mostly it's pretty banal. They help people make sure that whatever construction or activities they're doing aren't surpassing legal noise limits. They often get called out to power substations, for example.
And occasionally people complain about the hum from those substations. And we have to go out and measure them in the dead of night and just see if that actually is what it is. Because sometimes it isn't. It's just a mystery sound.
One time, his crew was called out to investigate a hum in someone's home near one of these substations. But when they went out with all their microphones and meters, they couldn't detect anything.
And so maybe a few nights or a week later, he called me back and he said, it's happening right now. So I jumped in the car. This was about maybe 11:30 or midnight or something like that. I jumped in my car, drove down to the suburb, took some measurements, and yeah, there it was.
Even though he can't hear it, Alex can see the hum on his meter. So he takes his microphone and he's following this sound, watching the screen as it gets stronger or weaker as he moves away from the house in different directions.
And so I probably spent maybe 2 or 3 hours just wandering around the neighborhood, taking some measurements, and determined that it was definitely not the substation, but it was something else. And so what I ended up finding was that it's a kitchen exhaust fan, actually, the discharge from the kitchen exhaust fan.
He sent me a picture of this exhaust fan. It's just a typical vent that you might see snaking up the side of any building. When air moves through a vent like this, it can be like blowing over the top of a gigantic empty glass bottle. This vent was halfway down the block, and the sound had to pass through a brick wall to penetrate into this person's bedroom. And one thing I've noticed with this hum is almost everyone I've spoken with, they hear the hum indoors and not outdoors.
Yeah. And so typically when you go outside, the noise is all still there. There's plenty of infrasonic stuff going on, but you don't hear it because, one, humans are very, very insensitive to low-frequency sounds. And two, the normal background noise, the wind, traffic noise, everything else just masks that noise very easily. But what happens is when you go inside and you got your walls and your windows, that basically acts like a low-pass filter, filtering out all that sort of high-frequency stuff, and you're left with low-frequency stuff.
Okay, Nick, I have to interrupt here. Now, we work in audio, so we have some idea about low frequency and pass filters, but can you explain what Alex is saying for people listening?
He told me that normally when a sound wave enters a room, it bounces around everywhere and dissipates, right? But if the size of the room matches up with the size of the wavelength, instead of dissipating it, it can bounce back and forth and amplify it.
And if you're sitting in a particular point in the room where it's really emphasizing that wavelength, you'll hear it crystal clear, crystal clear. Because the room itself is resonating at that frequency.
In both of the cases Alex told me about where he successfully chased down one of these low frequency hums, it was coming from an exhaust fan. At first, this got me excited. Like, maybe I ought to go start looking for exhaust fans around Dale Tutai's and Nelson Sarney's houses. But Alex confirms what Nelson suspected, which is that this type of sound can really be generated by any number of things.
Anything from industrial facilities, manufacturing plants, industrial machinery, ventilation plant as well. You got all kinds of ducts and exhaust pipes and motors and things that are happening all the time everywhere, making all kinds of noise at all different kinds of frequencies. Traffic noise, engines, even like you've experienced at your place with the bridge itself, you get weird kind of resonances happening from structures and things that happen.
The hum that Nelson hears at his house, we measured at 60 hertz, which is the frequency of alternating current. Alternating current powers our entire electrical grid. Anything with moving parts that's plugged in, like an AC fan or electrical motor, can vibrate at 60 hertz and induce a corresponding sound, thereby creating another hum. And like Alex said, the electrical grid is by far not the only source of hums.
So essentially, if you're within the built environment, especially in cities, you're bathed in noise 24 hours a day. It just never goes away.
Picking sounds out of this sonic soup can be difficult. It can take a team of acoustical engineers like Alex days, sometimes weeks, to locate the source of a hum. Easily costs thousands of dollars. That's why Alex's firm is usually hired by companies and businesses and not the affected residents themselves. That story he told about getting up in the middle of the night to chase down someone's hum, yeah, he wasn't able for liability reasons to even tell that homeowner where their hum was coming from.
Because we weren't engaged by him. We were engaged by the power company because he had complained to the power company. And so whether he can talk to them and get the report that I did is a different story. It's out of my hands.
Right, because they just care about, okay, it's not us.
Yeah, that's right. So they just want an answer whether they need to do something or not.
All right, let's do a quick reset here. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba, and we're talking with reporter Nick Harder about these annoying hums that people in San Francisco have been hearing in their homes. So, Nick, we know these hums are low frequency and that they resonate in certain structures more loudly than in others.
Right. Which explains in part why I read in more than one study, actually, that there's nothing special about people who hear hums. I mean, it's not like they have particularly good hearing or anything.
Okay, but does any of this help you figure out where the hums in the Sunset District are coming from?
Not really. They could be from the same source, but probably not. You'd have to go investigate each individual hum, and that's prohibitively expensive, so...
So if you are in this 2% of people who are susceptible, one day you start to hear an annoying hum in your house and you can't figure out where it's coming from, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. To be clear, you know, most of the folks I spoke with weren't as annoyed by their hums as Dale Tutai, who did go sleepless for years. Most people, they tune it out with white noise or it just becomes part of their life, you know, something they learn not to bring up with house guests because no one else can hear it and it makes them seem crazy. But Dale, he actually had complained to the city about it.
Okay, did the city do anything?
Yes and no. He submitted a noise complaint, and how those work here is you call 311, you get connected with a dispatcher, and the dispatcher will send your complaint to the appropriate department according to what the complaint is about. So if you're complaining that your neighbor is, like, blasting music too loud, you get sent to the police non-emergency line. If you complain about noise from airplanes, they'll forward you to the airport, so on, so forth. There is no one there to hunt down mystery sounds for people, right? So you can't just call them and tell them, I'm bothered by this noise and I don't know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Is that what Dale did?
No. So since Dale suspected that the source of his vibration hum was his water pipes, he complained about that, and the city dispatched a technician from the water department to investigate the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
They determined, essentially, you know, pipes working normally, well within ambient levels, and so case closed.
So what did Dale do after that?
A lot. He made his website, he contacted his city council person, he contacted the EPA, he contacted the health department, he reached out to different publications. And, you know, none of it really got him anywhere. So he moved, like he left the state entirely. I have since checked up on him just to see how he is, if he still hears a hum. It's been just a couple weeks, but what is life like now without feeling this vibration all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty drastic difference, really. Like, I mean, it's like the sleep deprivation side of it, that has like completely gone away. I feel like I'm like twice as productive as I was before and just like not forgetting things. And I really felt like I was pretty miserable before. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, my daughters wake up and they're just happy. And
but that's got to be a huge relief to see the impact that that has on your daughter's ability to just, like, be happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly frustrating that, like, I feel like we're traumatized.
Wow, that is really sad.
Yeah.
So Dale and his family left, but plenty of other people who hear the hum are still here. Did any of those other folks you spoke with complain to the city?
Nope, none of them. I asked them why, too. They said either it didn't bother them enough or they didn't think the city would do anything about it, or both. A couple of them said they'd read on Nextdoor about how difficult it had been for Dale to get help, actually, and that that had informed their decision not to reach out.
I mean, it sounds like they're right, that there's not much the city can or will do.
No, yeah, they're right. As big as the San Francisco budget is, you know, there's no city employee whose job it is to help locate and mitigate strange and annoying sounds.
Right.
However, I am obligated to say that San Francisco, true to its rep, is still progressive on this. So the San Francisco Noise Ordinance establishes an acceptable ambient level for low frequency noise and says that you can't go a certain amount above that level. I looked up the noise ordinances for San Jose, Sacramento, Los Angeles, San Diego, and not a single one even mentions low frequency noise.
Really?
So yeah, the reality is people who are impacted do have to cope the best they can. And I went to talk with somebody who can help them do that.
Oh, Chase. Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Come on this way. Thanks. I was just about
This is Dr. Tracy Peck. She's an audiologist and director of the Hearing and Speech Center here in San Francisco. I met her at her office there.
Yeah, I'm going to shut the door. I am going to keep my mask on, though, so, but I talk really loud, given the job, so.
She specializes in the treatment of tinnitus, or as a lot of people say it, tinnitus.
For both the low-frequency noise hearers and for tinnitus, there's a lot of parallels.
I know from my research that folks don't necessarily like to be told to seek treatment for their hums, which is understandable, and I'm not recommending tinnitus treatment per se. Really, what Dr. Peck gives us is just a deeper understanding of how the brain works. She tells me that once we start to pay attention to a new sound, say like a hum you just noticed,
the perception of that sound can actually be perceived as being louder. And if there is that connection between it sounding amplified and that emotional connection is a negative connection where it's a fearful or worrisome reaction, it tends to create this loop where that sound is perceived as being louder and causing kind of that negative feedback loop.
You can manage the symptoms to the point where it becomes negligible. And they do that through this process called habituation.
So habituation is going through this retraining process to help the brain learn to filter out whatever the bothersome sound is.
My understanding is that we habituate a lot of sounds all the time, right?
We habituate to sounds all the time, exactly.
It's the same concept as why you don't feel the clothing on your skin all day long. Our brains tune it out or habituate non-important information and amplify what we need to pay attention to.
And it kind of goes back to, you know, in cavemen days, like if you hear a rustle in the bush, is that something that is going to try to come and eat you and you need to run away for safety? Or is it possibly something that is of interest and you want to actually like go towards it?
We can't always control our emotional responses, right? Especially for low frequency noise, which, like I've said, has been shown to be particularly annoying. It's not a person's fault if they're bothered by a hum. That's why tinnitus treatment and habituation exists, to retrain your brain to tune it out.
For the purposes of the patients that I see, they have learned to get their brains to basically filter out that sound to the point where it is no longer bothersome, it is barely perceptible.
For our purposes, habituation breaks down into two elements. First, there's mixing, where you mix the hum you hear with another more pleasant sound, and that can retrain your brain to then tune both of those sounds out. That's a little easier to do at home. Then there's also mindfulness, which is a little more difficult to do on your own. It's basically just noticing one's thoughts around the sound and trying to have a different emotional response.
So there is a lot you can do, actually. So hopefully that's the takeaway also from this, is that, yeah, they're not crazy. They're not, you know, their situations are not hopeless. There's actually a lot that they can do. And, you know, hopefully from this, like, they maybe have someone to reach out to and get support.
Well, Nick, really interesting stuff. Thanks for diving deep into this subject. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will benefit, especially if they hear the hum.
Yeah, 2% of them, right? Well, thanks, Hannah. And I'll make sure that more info and resources for how to find help if you are experiencing a hum, that will be in the web version of this story.
Thanks. And that will be at kalw.org. That's Nicholas Harder, our Bay Area Strange Hums reporter. Nicholas reported that piece in 2021. The story's sound design was done by one of KALW's audio magicians, James Rollins.
Tune in tomorrow morning at 11. We'll meet an Oakland raised Paralympian who did more than just medal at the Tokyo Olympics.
So much of it was because of Oakland. Just the history of activism. So many of my friends' parents were big in that scene. So hearing their stories from a very young age instilled in me like a sense of responsibility to like speak up and against social injustices. And I wanted to find a way to do it respectfully because it is such an honor to represent Team USA. But I also feel like it's my responsibility to like represent all of the US.
We talked to Charlie Nordine, a rower who raised his voice for racial justice, tomorrow morning at 11. Today's Cross Currents team includes Pat McMahon, Molly Blair Salyer, Gonady Joe Johnson, Mary Catherine O'Connor, Shirin Adil, Lisa Morehouse, Angela Johnston, Marissa Ortega Welch, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.